The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, send us an email right now. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, right to your host of the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio, Pastor John Ward.
Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. So glad to be with you tonight at 8:30 on our Sunday broadcast, as always. I hope you all are having a great week. And it's the end of last week, and we're beginning a brand new week. Sunday nights are always a great time to get our hearts in the right place and begin the week off the right way. And, of course, beginning the week off with the Word is always the right way to begin. I hope you had a fantastic day in church. If you were in service today, man, we had two amazing services at our church. Of course, it's Word of Faith International Christian Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. I'm broadcasting live tonight from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. I'm here visiting family. We just got in this afternoon, and we're here for the week. And, of course, I'm on vacation, but I'm do my best to never miss a broadcast with you all. It's such a pleasure and a privilege to be able to join our faith together and receive the Word together on Sunday nights. If you're just tuning in tonight, I encourage you to let your friends know that we're listening, that we're live right now on realityradio101.com. You can go ahead and text them, email them, Facebook, Twitter, WhatsApp, however you contact your friends. Let them know we are live. We always have a great week every week, and my job tonight is to feed your faith and starve your doubts. If you have any questions, if you have any Bible questions, prayer requests, anything that we can help you with, I'm a pastor and I love to help. You can write us tonight at instudio101 at gmail.com. That's instudio@gmail.com. We won't be able to take your phone calls tonight, but we can take all of your emails. Email us. Let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to get into the Word after we pray here in just a moment.
And
but I'm just stalling for a couple minutes.
That's okay, Pastor. I want to correct on the email address. Folks at home, it is instudio101@gmail.com. So instudio101@gmail.com, and those emails will get right to Pastor John.
Thank you, Gary. I don't have all my normal notes in front of me as I'm traveling. So it's instudio101@gmail.com. Praise God. We'd love to hear from you. Email us. Let us know you're listening. Again, if you have any prayer requests or you have a comment, or just let us know that you're tuning in tonight, we'd love to hear from you. And we're going to go ahead and pray and get right into the Word. Let's join our faith together. Heavenly Father, we give you glory and honor and praise tonight. Father, we thank you for your love and faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, that you are a very present help in the time of trouble. We're so thankful, Father, that even when we get ourselves into trouble, we can come to you, and you are always there to help us. You won't condemn us, you won't find fault with us, but you will help us. And I pray tonight, Father, for this studio audience. I pray for all of those that are listening tonight. I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them. Every listener, Father, would receive a word from you, that every person's faith would be charged up tonight to receive from you. We thank you for it. We believe we receive it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody in agreement said amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead and begin tonight. Once again, you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. And go ahead and let your friends know that we're live and they can join in tonight with us as well. Get your Bible. Go to our text this evening, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's begin, we'll read verse 13, and then we'll see where the Lord leads us tonight. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13 is our foundation, and it reads, "We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Praise God. Once again, we have the same spirit of faith. The Apostle Paul was writing and including himself, including all of us that are men and women of faith, that we having the same spirit of faith. Remember that faith is in your heart. Faith is a spirit. And when you are operating in faith, your faith will always come out of your mouth. Praise God. As I was praying tonight, the Lord just really impressed upon me James. So let's go over to the book of James for a moment, and let's look. It talks about in James chapter 1, if you're going through a test and a trial. And I want to encourage you tonight that if you're going through a test or a trial, it does not mean that you are out of the will of God. It doesn't even mean that you've missed God. Jesus actually said this. He said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." I'm not concerned when a believer is going through a trial, but I'll tell you what I do get concerned about is when a believer never goes through a trial. Think about it. Jesus said, "Woe unto you when all men speak well of you." If you're not going through something, I kind of wonder how much of a threat you are to the kingdom of darkness. But if you are going through a trial and a test, and sometimes it doesn't even seem to make sense, sometimes it seems like all hell is breaking loose against you, that does not mean you are out of the will of God. It doesn't mean you've missed God one iota. It can very mean the opposite. It can mean that you are in the middle of God's perfect will, and that the enemy is coming in to attack you, to stop you, and to stop your walk with the Lord. But guess what? Whatever he tries, it won't work, as long as we stand in faith. Go over to James chapter 1. Once again, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Let us know that you're listening. You can email us at instudio101@gmail.com, instudio101@gmail.com. If you have a Bible question, if you have a prayer request, if you just want to let us know that you're listening, we'd love to hear from you, instudio101@gmail.com. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations." The word "divers" means different. And temptation is the Greek word here, I'm just double-checking it, parosmos, which means different types of pressures, different types of trials. It doesn't have to necessarily mean temptation to sin. It could be any type of trial that you find yourself in. And what does he say to do? He says, count it all joy. My friend, you cannot do that without faith. You cannot count a trial and a difficulty as joy unless you use faith. Because how many know that when you're in a trial, when you're in a test, when you're in an affliction, when the pressure is on, when you're having a hard time paying a bill, when your body is hurting, when relationships are suffering, when stuff is going on around you, it does not feel good. It is not fun. But we need to understand that if we are going to have the same spirit of faith that Paul had, the same spirit of faith that David had, the same spirit of faith that our great-great-great-great-grandfather Abraham had, who is actually the father of our faith, if we're going to have his kind of faith, then we're going to have to do what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says, count it all joy. I'll tell you right now, that is not a word of encouragement to your flesh. Your flesh, when you're going through a trial, wants to have a pity party. Your flesh wants to feel sorry for itself. Your flesh just wants to pull the sheets over your head and go back to sleep and forget about everything that's going on. But that is never going to bring you out of the trial. It's never going to bring the victory in your life. And sometimes we think, well, if I just ignore it for a while, then things will get better. That almost never works. You know what usually happens? Things usually get worse. If you ignore it and you don't deal with it, it's going to get worse. But right here, God tells us what to do. He says, in the midst of whatever trial you're going through, count it all joy. Remember, he didn't say it was joy. He said to count it as joy. The word here for count it all joy, the word count means to consider it. It means think about it as gladness, as joyous, as an occasion of joy. Now, how can you think of a pressure or a trial or an affliction, financial, physical, whatever it is, why would you ever consider it as joy? Well, he goes on to tell us why, and I'll tell you in just a moment, but first I want to give a shout-out to a couple of people that are writing into us. And once again, I encourage you to let us know that you're listening tonight. If you have a question, a Bible question, a comment, if you have a praise report, email us at instudio101@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This is one of my oldest friends, Antoinette McCurtis, has emailed us in tonight. Pastor Greg and Antoinette McCurtis says, God bless you and love you, brother Pastor John. Praise the Lord. They have known me since I just started walking with the Lord, right around 1993, 1994. As a matter of fact, I was picking up Pastor Antoinette in her at her house in Detroit, and when I was picking her up, I went through a trial of affliction. I went through a difficulty, a temptation. I was picking her and the kids up, and my car got stolen right out of her driveway, praise God. And I was picking her up to go to church, and the devil came and stole my car right out of her driveway, hallelujah. How many know that was an opportunity to count it all joy, praise God. Listen, either we are men and women of faith, or we are men and women of this world. But God has called us out of this world. He's called us not to leave this world. He hasn't called us to leave planet Earth, but he said, even though you are in this world, you are not of this world. And we are not to operate like the world. We are to operate as the sons and daughters of Almighty God. My wife and I were having a conversation about this on the way to Detroit today. And we were talking about how, you know, we don't live this life as a Christian because we are ministers or pastors. We don't live this life because we are somehow religious. We live this life because Jesus is our King. We live this life because our Heavenly Father has sent the Lord Jesus to die for us, and he's been raised from the dead, and now we are his sons, and we are his daughters. We're children of God, and we are not to live like this world anymore. That's why God has given us the Bible, not so we can have a bunch of history and a bunch of information. No, so that we can have a manual of how to live as a born-again believer. That's why people ask me, and I had them ask me on the radio last week, they said, what should I read more, Pastor? Should I read the Old Testament or the New Testament? Well, the answer is easy. It's the New Testament, especially the Pauline epistles. Why? Because God used the Apostle Paul to teach us as born-again believers how to live a victorious, spirit-filled, faith-filled, overcoming life. And we can't do that if we don't have the right food. You got to have the right spiritual food. I'm not saying once in a while you don't eat other foods, but you need to have a solid diet of good nutrition that is going to give you the nutrition that you need to be strong and healthy and able to overcome everything that you need to do. And you can't do that without God's Word. God used the Apostle Paul to teach us how to be victorious. Praise the Lord. Here's another email tonight. Once again, you can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Just let us know that you're listening, or if you have a Bible question or a prayer request or a praise report, give us a shout at instudio101@gmail.com. And we still got 45 minutes left, so email your friends, text them, go on WhatsApp, send a message out on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram and let them know that you're listening tonight. I'd love for you to also find me at Facebook. You're going to look for John, J-O-H-N, Ward, W-A-R-D, and, of course, you can put in Toronto, and that'll find me, and you'll see all my information there. And follow me on Facebook. I'm always putting out stuff that will feed your faith and starve your doubts, praise God. We have another email here from Karen. Karen says, just wanted to say hello, Pastor. Hoping your family in the States are doing well and blessed. Listening from Waterloo, Ontario. Blessings to you in Waterloo. Praise God. So glad that you've tuned in tonight. Got another email tonight here from Larry. Larry says, what is actually meant by epistles? What does the word epistle mean? Well, I'm going to give you the Greek here, Larry, in just a second, but the word epistle means a letter. The word epistle is a letter. So Paul's epistle to the Corinthians is simply an old English word that is referring to Paul's letter. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 21, Paul says, actually verse 22, he says, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Once again, that's Romans 16 and verse 22. And the word salute, of course, is to say hello, welcome, embrace you, greet you. And the word epistle here is the Greek word epistole. And epistole just simply means a written message or a letter. And here's the thing we have to understand. These epistles, and of course, Peter's letters are also called epistles. These letters are as the Holy Spirit moved upon these men of God and gave them inspiration from heaven. These letters are Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, giving us words to teach us spiritual truths and teach us how to overcome. Praise God. And that's why these letters are so critically important. We're not listening for the words coming from Paul. We're not listening from the words off the King James or the New Living or whatever that you're reading. We are listening for God to speak to us through these words. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word in the Greek there for hearing actually means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The more you hear the word, the more your faith increases. And there's no limit to how your faith and how high your faith can increase in your life. But it's important to understand that that faith is not going to come from prayer. That's right. Faith is not going to come from prayer. Faith is not going to come from fasting. Faith is not going to come from begging God. Faith is not going to come from any of those things. Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why tonight, as you're hearing the word of God, and we're talking about tests and trials, we're going to go back to James in just a moment. If you're not there right now in your Bible, turn to James chapter 1. And when we hear this word is food for your spirit. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil, he responded to the enemy, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Notice, not every word that's off a piece of a page of a paper. Not every word that somebody tells you, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And the word there in the Greek is the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Rhema is the spoken word. Once again, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the word of God. Or some translations say the word from God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's why when you take the word of God and you put it in your heart, that's where it needs to go. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 tells us that there are three accesses into your heart, three entry points, three gates into your heart, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. Now, many of you listening, you're like, I know that. Yeah, but see, as you're listening to the word, faith cometh. Never become familiar with the word of God. Familiarity will stop you from receiving from God, because you need to understand that you're not limited by what you know in your head. The word of God is not intellectual. The word of God is not for your mind necessarily. The word of God is for your spirit. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Jesus said, the words that I say unto you, they are spirit and they are life. They are spirit and they are life. Psalms 119 says that the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. That the entrance of the word of God produces understanding, revelation. It opens up the door to the supernatural. The Holy Spirit will then take that word and he will speak to you in your heart concerning God's plan and purpose for your life. That's why when you're in a test and a trial, that's not the time to back up from God. That's not the time to slow down in your prayer. That's not the time to back off the word of God. But sometimes your flesh will just go nuts on you. Your flesh will have a pity party. These thoughts will come to your mind. Well, if God was really with me, I wouldn't be going through this trial. That is a lie from the pit of hell, and it is not true. And I already told you, Jesus said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. When everything seems to be going well, I caution you, are you in the will of God? Because Paul, the more I study the Pauline epistles, the more I study the letters of Paul, the more I realize that Paul hit the mark, man. Paul operated in such grace. He flowed in the things of God. And I've heard preachers, and some of you have heard them too, and they've tried to say that Paul missed God, that the reason Paul had so much persecution was because he was trying to save the Jews, and he was missing God. That's a bunch of malarkey. That ain't true at all. That is not true. The more you study the Word of God, and you find out that the moment that Paul was arrested by Jesus on the road to Damascus was the moment that Jesus spoke to him and said, I'm going to show you all the things that you must suffer for my name. Paul talked about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about all the trials he went through, perils by neighbors, perils by countrymen, perils by the brethren, perils here, perils there. The word peril means trouble. He had trouble on every side, and yet what did he say? He said, I am not distressed. He said, who is weak? I am not weak. And he said, what's more, the cares of all the churches come on me every single day. But Paul was not moved by any of those things, and he was a forerunner for you and I. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. God put him out there as an example for us to follow so that we could learn how to operate in the spirit of faith, so we could learn how to overcome every test and trial. We are not called to back up from trial. We are called to be like David. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Somebody must need some help out there listening tonight, because you all got me fired up. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to email us tonight, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Just let us know you're listening, or if you have a Bible question or a praise report, we would love to hear from you tonight. Praise God. If you've never emailed us, send us an email. Let us know you've been listening. Maybe tell us how many weeks you've been listening. This is our 18th week, I believe. Something like that. About 18 weeks we've been on the air. We just started about 4 months ago. And, man, what a privilege to come into your house or your car, wherever you are, every Sunday night. And let me encourage you with this. If you have missed any of the broadcast and you'd like to listen, you can go to our website at Word of Faith Toronto. That's wordoffaithtoronto.com. And scroll down a little bit, and you'll see a picture of the broadcast, the flyer that we've sent out, all the information. Click on that, and then you'll see all the archives. We put all the archives there for you, so you can go back and listen to any of the radio broadcasts that you might have missed. Let's give a shout-out tonight to Mike. Mike says, praise God. What a radio show. Such faith. Love you in Dayton, Ohio. Man, so glad that you've emailed us tonight, Mike. Great to hear from you. And I know most of you, man, you just tune in to get your faith fed. Not a whole lot of questions. We just are flowing and receiving from the Lord tonight. Monica emails us and says, amen, wow, you are on fire tonight, Pastor. Thank you for that. Praise God. You know what? When you know Jesus, how can you not be on fire? Man, we need to be on fire for Jesus. He needs us. God's got work for us to do. Someone said, well, why does God need us? Because God has chosen for people to preach the gospel. That's right. Go back and read Romans chapter 10, and you'll find out that it's through people that God has chosen to preach this gospel. And he has not called us to preach a watered-down, milquetoast message. He's called us to preach with boldness and to preach the truth, not because of what men want us to preach, but because of what God has put in our heart. Jeremiah said the word of God is like fire shut up in my bones. Praise the Lord. And I'm feeling that fire tonight. Glory to God. Now go back to James. Again, you can email us. We'd love to hear from you. If you've never emailed us, send us an email tonight at instudio101@gmail.com. Love to say hello to you on the air tonight. Praise God. Back to James chapter 1. He says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy. He didn't say it was joy. But see, what faith does is faith does not walk by what you see and what you feel. We walk by, come on, somebody help me. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We walk by faith and not by sight. Last week, we went through all four verses that say, that teach us that the just shall live by faith. In Romans, he says, it is evident. The word evident in the Hebrew or in the Greek means it's clear, it's obvious that the just shall live by faith. And he says in there that the righteousness of God, the way that God does things, is revealed to us. As a matter of fact, you better hold your finger in James and go to Romans real quick because you need to put your eyes on this one. Praise God. Go to Romans. And chapter 1, and then hold your finger in James. We're going to come right back to James. While you're turning to Romans chapter 1, just remind you, we'd love to hear from you tonight. InStudio101@gmail.com, InStudio101@gmail.com. Romans 1 verse 17 says, for therein, wherein? In the gospel. Verse 16, Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, the dunamis, the miracle, dynamic, working power of God unto soteria, salvation, to everyone that pistis, everyone that believes, everyone that is convinced and confident and persuaded, first to the Jew and then to the Greek. In other words, God's not a respecter of persons, for therein, for in the gospel, verse 17, is the righteousness, God's way of doing things, revealed from faith to faith. How is the way of God revealed? How are the things of God revealed? From faith to faith. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When you're going through a test and a trial, that is not the time to stop going to church. Oh, think about it. Sometimes, man, we're going through a trial, and we're like, I just need to stay home and rest. Oh, I just need to stay home and get some extra sleep. My friend, my brother, the reason that you need rest is not because of lack of sleep. You need rest because you are feeling overwhelmed by the test and the trial, and you are not going to get rest by sleeping extra. Nah, man, that's just going to make you depressed. What you need to do is get up, get dressed, go to church. Give the devil a black eye. When the devil attacks you, don't give in to him and do what he wants you to do. He wants you to back off from your walk with God. He wants you to sit down and shut up and put up and stop tithing and stop giving and just stay home. That's why he put the pressure on you. He put the pressure on you because he wants to steal the word out of your heart. But you got to say, no, devil, I see you. You lying devil. You're attacking my finances. You're attacking my body. You're attacking my relationships. No, you are not going to. It's not going to work. I'm going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When I go through the fire, I refuse to compromise. And when I'm in the middle of the fire, there's going to be somebody else that's going to get in that fire with me. His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God, and he is with us in every test and every trial. God's a very present help in the time of trouble. He said he would never leave us, never forsake us. He will help us in the midst of it. And so what do we need to do? When you are under attack, it's time to press in. It's time to push. It's time to get going and move on and grow in your faith. It's time to get back into the Word of God. It's time to let your faith arise in the midst of this adversity. Don't back up. Don't put up. Don't quit doing the Word. That's exactly what the devil wants. So many times when we're under attack, we think, well, if I just stop and do nothing, things will get better. No, man. What Satan will do is he'll see you when you're down. And when you're down, he's looking for an opportunity to take you out. You can't afford to get weaker when you're under attack. The attack is designed to steal the word in your heart. It's designed to push you off the things of God. It's designed to push you back. But it's in those moments that God wants to promote you. He wants to promote you in his kingdom. And the only way he can do that is when you come through this trial victorious. You come through this trial victorious, and God is going to increase your status. He's going to increase your rank in his kingdom. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to say hello here to Pam, but you can email us tonight. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know you're listening. InStudio101@gmail.com. We're live tonight from the beautiful city of Detroit, Michigan, in the United States. And so glad that you've tuned in. We got about 30 minutes left. I encourage you to send out a text or an email or Facebook or Twitter, whatever. Let folks know that we are live tonight on RealityRadio101.com. Just type out RealityRadio101.com return, and then when it comes to them, they can just click on the link and they can join us tonight. Praise God. I want to say hello to Pam. Pam says, hi, I'm a new listener from Orlando, Florida. Thank you for your ministry. Man, we're so glad to hear from you, Pam. Thank you for tuning in. It's such a pleasure to be in the same army with you all. We are in the same army, and we're serving the same God, whether you're in Florida or whether you're in we have people tuning in from Israel, from Ireland, from Russia, from all over the world. No matter where you are, there is no distance in the spirit. Praise God. And tonight we're talking about going through trials and going through tests. And so many times when we go through a test and a trial, this is when you've got to be most cautious, because this is when Satan will lie to you. And when we're feeling weak and we're feeling insecure and we're feeling under attack and all these thoughts are coming to our head and we're thinking, well, you know, did I do something to get into this, and why is this happening to me, and all this kind of stuff, that's when these questions can begin to cause your faith to get weak. I think I need to say this again. I don't think all of you heard me. When you are under attack, Satan is going to hit you with questions. He's going to hit your mind with questions. Think about back in the Garden of Eden, when he came into the garden through the serpent. And through that serpent, he started talking to woman. Her name wasn't Eve until after the fall. Her name was still Adam. And when he began to talk to the female Adam, he began to say, half God said. Some of you might be going through something right now and you're thinking, has God told me to go to college? Has God told me to date this person? Did God tell me to marry this person? Maybe this wasn't God's will for me at all. Let me help you with that one. If you married them, they are God's perfect will for you. Oh, I'm going to say that again. If you married them, they are God's perfect will for you. And you need to begin to work on that marriage. You need to begin to do what the Word of God says and speak words of faith regarding your marriage. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. If adversity is coming, that's a sign that you're in the perfect will of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Here's another email tonight from Peter. Peter is emailing us from Toronto. He says, Pastor, you are ablaze tonight. I can hear you without my speakers in Toronto. Praise God. Man, I tell you, I am fired up and I'm stirred up. And all of us need to be stirred up. Why? Jesus is coming soon and we have a work to do. We need to be about the Master's business. And the only way we're going to do that is if our faith is topped up. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Praise God. Now, go back to James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you find yourself in different types of trials, different types of temptations, different types of circumstances, different types of attacks. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever trial you're going through, it doesn't have to be because you sinned. It could be because you sinned, but it could very be that the enemy has just attacked you with evil. This word parosmos in the Greek doesn't necessarily mean that you have committed a sin. It is literally a trial of any type of attack. And he told us what to do in this attack. He said, count it all joy. Man, think about yourself. How many times when you get attacked do you stop immediately and say, praise God, I just got hit in my finances. Praise God, I got this pain in my body. Praise God, the doctor said I got this or I got that. How many have done that? Well, my friend, that's what you're supposed to do. Oh, yeah. The trial is not, the devil designs the trial to take you out, but God designs the trial to promote you. Did you hear what I just said? God has designed that in the midst of the trial, he is prepared to promote you. How many ever heard of a test where you didn't get promoted if you passed the test? I just this past week took a test for my son's hockey program, and I had to study for it, and then I had to take it, and it took me, man, like 10 hours to do all these tests for this hockey program thing to help out for the team. And at the end of passing all the tests, guess what? I got promoted. I got my certification. Praise the Lord. The test is, we look at the test as something designed to hurt us. God looks at the test as something to promote you. Did you hear what I just said? Man, that's a good word right there. God looks at the test not to hurt you. God looks at the test to promote you. Because when you come through this thing, you're going to get promoted. You're going to go to the next level. What causes us to get promoted in God? What causes us to get increased and elevated in the kingdom of God? Faith. Faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, you cannot please God. He that comes to God must first believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder, a rewarder, a rewarder, a rewarder. When you pass the test, you're going to get rewarded. God wants to reward you. When you're going through the test and the trial, that's the time to lift up your eyes unto the hills from which cometh your help. Look unto God. God wants to elevate you. God wants to promote you. God wants to take us over the top. And the devil is so, I hate to use the word, stupid. He thinks that by attacking you, he's going to stop you. But you are a child of the King. You are God's soldier. You have been called to his army, and he has equipped you. He's given you the helmet of salvation. He's given you the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. You have all the tools that you need to overcome. You are a soldier dressed to kill. And so when Satan comes at you, man, all you got to do is stick back your shoulders, lift up your head, lift up your shield of faith, get your hand on your sword, and get ready to do battle. And you need to know one thing. You need to understand that even though the battle is fresh, even though the battle is right in front of you, even though you haven't gone through the battle, Jesus has already won the war. He's already defeated the enemy. We are not fighting somebody who has not been defeated. He's already been whipped. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1 that he has been totally stripped of all his power. He has been made, he has been triumphed over openly. He's been whipped, and he tries to tell you that he is big and bad and able to destroy your marriage and able to destroy your body and able to steal your job. Man, he can't do nothing. He's Gumby. He's got all his teeth taken out of him. He tries to chew you, but he can't chew you because he ain't got no teeth. All he can do is gum you to death, and he can't even do that because he's got nothing to penetrate you with. He is defeated. He's the big bad wolf with no teeth. He'll shout at you. He'll stomp at you. He'll do jumping jacks in front of you. He'll try to get your attention, but he is defeated, and we need to know who we are in Christ. We need to know that through our faith we overcome. That through our faith we win. That through our faith we do battle and we win every single time. We are God's children. We are his soldiers. We are not those that are fighting from a position of, I wonder who's going to win. We are fighting from a position of a finished work. The work on the cross, the war has already been won. Jesus has already been promoted. He's already been seated at the right hand of God. In Ephesians chapter 2 says that you have been made to sit. You and I have been made to sit with him in heavenly places. In Christ Jesus, we are not fighting from down here on the earth. We are fighting from a seated position in Christ. But the reason that so many Christians get whipped is because they don't use their faith. Sometimes they don't even know they got their faith. Why? Because they haven't gotten in the book. They haven't gotten in the epistles. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. When you're going through a trial, that's not the time to feel sorry for yourself. That's not the time to have a pity party. That's not the time to call up Tom, Dick, and Harry and tell them, oh, woe is me, I'm going through all these tests and trials. No, man, that's the time to first get down on your knees and acknowledge that God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And then open up your Bible. Take the word of God. Begin to read the word. Remember, the word was not meant to be read silently. The word was meant to be read out loud. Read that word. And when you do, you are then putting that word into your heart, and you are giving Holy Spirit something to work with. And he will take that word, and he'll cause his explosive power to cause that word to shoot off inside your mind and shoot off inside your spirit. And then that word will begin to come out of your mouth. Glory to God. That word will begin to come out of your mouth. Go with me to Romans. We'll come back to James, but go with me to Romans for just a moment, chapter 10. Once again, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We got about 15 minutes left. You can email us at instudio101 at gmail.com. I'm so excited tonight, I can't see straight. Praise the Lord. InStudio101@gmail.com. InStudio101@gmail.com. Love to know that you're listening tonight. Love to know that you're out there. Send us an email if you have a prayer request, if you have a Bible question. You can take us in a direction, especially if it's relating to a trial. I really believe that the reason that we are on this tonight is because many of you are going through some difficulties, going through some attacks, going through some situations, and God wants you to be encouraged to use the weapons that he's given you, to use faith, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So go to Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. That's the name of our church, Word of Faith Toronto. The word of faith which we preach. Now look at this again slowly. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Now the word nigh is that old English word that means near you. How close is the word to you? How close is the word to you? And let me give you a little insight here. The word here is the Greek word rhema. So when you read the Bible, that's not rhema. Reading the Bible is not what produces faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema, the spoken word of God. He says, the word is nigh thee. How close is it? How close is the word? Well, he tells you. Keep reading. He says, it is in your mouth and in your heart. Check that out. He said, it's in your mouth. You say, well, I haven't really spoken the word. Well, the Bible is true. It's not a liar. So what does that mean? It means sometimes the word is right there at your mouth, and he tells you why it would be at your mouth. He said, it's in your mouth and in your heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I always found it interesting here that he doesn't say that the word is near you in your heart first. He said the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word, there's that word rhema, the word of faith which we preach. He says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith. Now the word mouth is the Greek word stoma, S-T-O-M-A. We would probably pronounce it in English stoma. And a stoma is an opening. If you've ever seen someone who's had a tracheostomy and they got a hole in their neck and maybe they had it connected to a ventilator to help them breathe, or you've seen them in the nursing home where they use a tube to clean out their airway with that hole. That hole is called a stoma. In the Greek, the word stoma, it literally means this. It means the front edge of a weapon. Say it with me. The front edge of a weapon. The word stoma, the word mouth, means the front edge of a weapon. So if you think about a rifle, a gun, a shotgun, a pistol, and you got a pistol, let's say, for example, let's make it a shotgun. You got a shotgun, and that shotgun is loaded. You got shotgun shells in there, and it's loaded and ready to go. The end of the barrel is the stoma. The end of the barrel is the mouth of the shotgun. And the shotgun shell is in there ready to go, but it's not going to do nothing until you pull the trigger. See, the Word of God, he said, has been with us all the time. The word, because this scripture goes on to say, this is how we get saved, but this is how faith works in any area. He says, the Word is near you. Sometimes we get so frazzled, and Satan puts this fear on us, and the situation is looking bad, and we're thinking to ourselves, I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me give you a little tip on that. Many times, Satan is the one that's put that thought in your head. What are you going to do? 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 Man, sometimes that is such an annoying racket going on in your head. He keeps saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Many times, I tell him, Satan, what are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I'm going to reign and rule with him for 1,000 years. I'm going to be seated with Christ for all eternity. I'm asking you, devil, what you going to do? You're going to be, there's a big angel that's going to come with a chain, and he's going to wrap you up and take you down to the abyss and go lock your butt up for 1,000 years, and you're going to sit there for 1,000 years, and then after all of that, he's going to send you to the lake of fire, and you're going to burn for all eternity. What you going to do, devil? I know that the worst thing that could happen, that seemingly, is that I die. My heart stopped beating. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What you going to do, devil? That's what I want to know. What you going to do? There's nothing you can do because you're already defeated. You're already whipped. Jesus came like a master dentist and pulled out all your teeth. You ain't got no power. All you can do is gum me with your lies and put those stupid thoughts in my head. But I got news for you. I know the weapons of my warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I will not be defeated, and I will not quit. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus overcame. I overcome. I'm not moved by your lies. We need to remember that God has given us the weapons that we need. He said the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's right there. The word of faith which we preach. And he says that if you shall confess The word confess is the Greek word homologio. Homologio means to say the same thing. Say it with me. To say the same thing. What does that mean, say the same thing? Well, once again, he said the word is what? Nigh you, near you. It's where? In your mouth and in your heart. That if we confess, homologio. Homologio means to say the same thing. Homologio, the word homo means same. The word logio is from the Greek word logos, which means the word. It means to say the word. To say the word. Well, say the same thing means that you're saying what you hear. Well, where are you hearing it from? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. And so all we have to do is what? We need to pull the trigger. We need to use the weapon that God has given us. The weapon is our mouth, my friend. That if you shall confess with your mouth, Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, in other words, that Jesus is alive, you shall be saved. All you got to do is pull the trigger. God has given you a loaded weapon. He gave you the word. He gave you the spirit. He gave you the authority. You've got everything you need. Now you need to pull the trigger. And Satan is standing over there saying, boo, 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 be scared, boo, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. Man, he's a liar. Jesus called him the father of lies. He don't know the truth if it bit him. He don't know it. But we have the truth. Where is the truth? It's near us. Where is it near us? It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. All we got to do is make up our mind, Jesus, you are my master, and I'm going to say whatever you say. I'm going to say the same thing, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And faith works the same way for salvation as it works for receiving finances, as it works for receiving healing in your body, as it works for anything. The scripture plainly tells us, in 1 Corinthians, I'm trying to turn there real quick. He says in, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes, and in him, amen, which means so be it unto the glory of God. We've already seen twice tonight that God is not a respecter of persons, that what God will do for one, he'll do for another. So some people say, well, why do some people receive and other people don't receive? It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. Praise God. If you're still in James, let me read this to you. In James, he says in verse 6, well, at verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Okay, if I don't have wisdom, wisdom about what, you might say? Not anything. No, you got to always read scripture in context. In verse 2, he says, count it all joy if you fall into different temptations. And then he says, if any of you lack wisdom, verse 5, wisdom about what? About the temptation, about the trial, about the situation. He says, ask of God, verse 6, but let him ask in faith. You can't get away from faith. I'm telling you, you cannot get away from it. You cannot please God without faith. It's all about faith, and you don't need a whole lot. You just got to use what you got. Faith will cause you to overcome. Faith will cause you to win every time. And remember, you don't have to go down to the deep to find Jesus. You don't have to go up into heaven to find Jesus. All you got to do is realize the truth of God's word, that the word is nigh thee. It's near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. It's right there. And he says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. But he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, look at verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways. No. In a few of his ways. No. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Now, I hope you're looking at the verse. Look at James 1:8, or just write it down, and write down the word double. Write down the word double. D-O-U-B-L-E, double. Now, take the L and the E and remove it, and add a T. Double is the word doubt. Doubt. Doubt and double are the same thing. He said, let a doubter, is unstable in all of his ways. Now, go to Mark chapter 11. And let me read a couple of these emails real quick. Mark chapter 11, and I'll meet you over there. Go to Mark 11, We're going to look at verse 22 for these next 7 minutes. We got an email here from Ron. And Ron says, "Hi, Pastor. Thank you so much for this amazing show this evening. Such passion and volume." Uh-oh. Better turn down the sound there. Brother, praise God. Good thing you can control the volume. The people in my church, they can't control the volume. Or when I get real excited, the holy spit that might come out. Praise the Lord. So glad that you're listening tonight, Ron. We also got an email here tonight from Shane. And Shane simply says, "Amen." That's my favorite email of the night. Amen. Praise God. Then we got an email here from my best friend, Ryan. Ryan says, "The truth is setting us free." Praise God. Jesus said, "If you're truly my disciple, you'll continue in the truth, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Praise God. We should be going from glory to glory. I think tonight we're going to two glories up. Praise God. Shelly is emailing us. She says, "Listening from Las Vegas, Nevada. Praise God, you have me lifted up." Well, it must be Jesus, Shelly, because he's the only one that can lift us up. He is good all the time, and God gets all the glory. Now go to Mark 11. We got an exciting 5 minutes left. Go to Mark 11, and let's look at verse 22. Mark 11, verse 22, and notice what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is teaching on faith, and he says in verse 22, "And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God." Now, what is he answering? He's answering because the day before he cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died. And it dried up all the way from the roots. The whole thing died. And it just came out of the ground and was collapsed over, totally dead. And the disciples are looking at him like, "What in the world? Who are you?" And Jesus begins to teach on how faith works. And he says in verse 22, Jesus answering said, "Have faith in God." Many translations say it like this: have the God kind of faith. Have the faith that God has. "For truly I say unto you, that whosoever," say whosoever, whosoever, who is whosoever? Whosoever, that's anybody, whosoever. See, God's not a respecter of persons. What God will do for one, he'll do for another. Don't ever think that God will answer Susie's prayer, but God won't answer your prayer. Don't ever think that God will answer Bishop T.D. Jakes' prayer, but won't answer your prayer. No, man, that would make God a liar, and God is not a liar. God is not a respecter of persons. Whosoever, verse 23, shall say, he didn't say pray, he said say, whosoever shall say. Jesus spoke to the fig tree, and now he's teaching us, how do you operate in the God kind of faith? If you say, what does saying mean? It means you're saying the same thing. The word is nivi. It's in your mouth, and it's in your heart. The word mouth, the front edge of a weapon. You need to pull the trigger. He said, say to the mountain, pull the trigger. Pull the trigger. You got the loaded gun. You got all the potential power ready to go, but you got to pull the trigger. He said, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea and shall not double. There it is. There's that word. Shall not, take off the T, the word doubt here. Take off the T and add L-E, double. Shall not double in his heart. How do you double in your heart? What in the world he's talking about? Jesus said this. Pardon my stuttering there. Jesus said this. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. He said, if you don't doubt in your heart, how would you know you're doubting in your heart? Because of what you say. What are you saying about your situation? Satan's coming with these temptations. He's coming with these thoughts in your head, and he's trying to get you to doubt. He's trying to get you to back up on your faith, but you're not doubting until you speak the words that Satan is saying. You got to speak God's word no matter what. Don't be double-minded. And listen to this. Brother Hagin taught us this. He said you can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. You can have faith in your heart and doubt in your head. Your head might be going nutso. Your head might be saying, I don't know how. I don't know what's going to happen. But don't let it come out of your mouth. That's where you need to begin to praise God. David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In times of trouble, in times of attack, in times of pressure, it's time to open up your mouth and praise God. When you've done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the full armor of God, and that's the time to praise God. We had a word this morning that came from tongues and interpretation of tongues at church, and the Lord said this. He said, I have given you my weapon, and my weapon is praise. And he said, praise is not for me. He said, praise is to me, but praise is not for me. God doesn't need your praise. He don't need it. God is self-sufficient. But you need to praise God, because when you praise God, you are using a weapon that is the greatest weapon to shut down the enemy. Praise God. He's given you praise to still the mouth of the avenger. Hallelujah. Man, it has been such a pleasure to be with you tonight. We've had a great time. In the Word. This hour has gone by so fast. I'll be with you again next Sunday night at 8:30. And until then, I want to remind you that the devil is defeated, God is exalted, and Jesus is Lord. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, and we'll listen to you and hear you back next Sunday in Jesus' name. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Spirit of Faith Talk Radio with your host, Pastor John Ward, right here on Reality Radio 101.